apologize for my voice, but this is not necessary because I have been farting too much. Probably because I have been overusing the voice. Good morning, everyone. I have been working with some colleagues at Auburn University and also some colleagues from this room and the group from ARAs in Bushland. They have been advising us. The title of my talk is Exploring the Use of Canopy Temperature for Irrigation Scheduling. And that's exactly what I will be doing over the last 10, 15 minutes for my presentation. I will be showing you what we have done this year. In the Southeast, let's say in the state of Georgia or Alabama, we have been very interested on using canopy temperature for irrigation scheduling, but we are still learning. And I think this is a very steep learning curve compared to what other colleagues have done in Texas or Nebraska. So this is the first season of this study. This is the first year. This is the season where we encountered a lot of issues with losing data from the canopy temperature sensors, losing data from the soil moisture sensors. This season was extremely wet season for us in the Southeast or in the South U.S., so we didn't do much of scheduling, but we were learning a lot. So this is pretty much what I already said. There are some results from other states where they have proved that this technology works and we can use it for irrigation scheduling. So we want to see how we can implement those approaches in the Southeast and what are the things that probably we need to modify or we need to develop in terms of calibration equations for the Southeast. So the main objectives of this study, and this is a continuous process, this is the first year, is to explore and evaluate the potential of using canopy temperature data for irrigation scheduling, not only canopy temperature data from sensors like infrared thermal sensors at a fixed location. We really want to go. The idea is in the future probably mount those sensors on the center pivot irrigation systems, or could we use thermal data coming from UAV images? So the technology is out there. Let us see if those things are comparable, or what are the advantages or disadvantages between these two different approaches. So what we wanted to do, and that's what I am going to say, what we wanted to do this year was to establish an irrigation rate study. So we were planning to have three different irrigation rates. We were having the 100% field capacity treatment, 66% of field capacity, and 33% field capacity. You can see the plots, and those plots are under a very large center pivot irrigation system, and every two spans, we have a different crop. So every two spans, we have either cotton, and then next to cotton, we have corn, and next to corn, we probably have soybeans. So that was the area that was allocated to me for this study. Unfortunately, we couldn't implement any one of those treatments. So I will say that everything was pretty much rain-fed because we have too much rainfall. So every week, we have a lot of rain. So we only irrigated twice during the growing season, okay? So what we did was on each one of those plots, each one of these plots, we installed a infrared canopy temperature sensor, as you can see on the picture. And at each one of those locations that were in the middle of the plot, we installed two different types of soil moisture sensors. So we installed the Aclima 3015L, and we installed EC5 sensors. We installed those sensors at four different depths, 15 centimeters, 30 centimeters, 45, 46, and 60 centimeters. Those sensors were collecting continuous data, both the IRTs from Dynamax and the soil moisture sensors. We collected soil samples to determine soil texture and field capacity and permanent wilting point. We also collected every 2 weeks plant height and leaf area index. And every 2 weeks we flew a UAV that has a thermal camera, so we were able to collect thermal images every 2 weeks and try to correlate those images with the data from the thermal the IRT sensors and the soil moisture sensors. So this is a little bit of the processing that we did to really extract the thermal data from the images. So we crop the images so we can have the area of each the imagery data from every single plot. And then what we also did was we created a buffer around the centroid of each plot, and we extract just the pixel values from four rows around every single location. So just to mimic what probably the IRT was doing at a fixed location. So we wanted to compare these two things. So data coming from the average of an entire plot, data coming from a buffer of four rows around the location where we installed the IRT, and the IRT data. So this is the set of activities or tasks that we intended to do. So we wanted to evaluate leaf area index, plant height, and yield differences between those plots. Even though we didn't establish any irrigation rates, there are significant differences in soil texture between those plots. So we were trying to use the differences in soil texture and soil water holding capacity as if we really impose on treatments. So we wanted to compare the dynamics of IRT data coming from stationary sensors with soil water content at different growth stages. And we wanted to compare or evaluate if we can use the crop water stress index as a method for irrigation scheduling, or if we can use the time temperature threshold method as a tool for irrigation scheduling. And we wanted to compare IRT data versus thermal images. So these are the results from the yield results from those plots. Again, we didn't implement any treatments, but you can see the variability that existed over the study area. So we have, you know, there is a kind of a gradient in yield. This is plot one, this is plot one, and we have a gradient in that goes from higher yield in this part of the field towards lower yield in this part of the field. And I will explain a little bit why we think that the lower yield, or why we think the differences are. We found that the dashed lines on these graphs, this is the plant height, this is the leaf area index, the dashed lines represent or correspond to plots 5 to 9. That are the plots, 5 to 9, that are the plots with the lowest yield from that study area compared to plots 1 to 4. So we can see that leaf area index and plant height correlated well with the final yield that we observed on those. And I forgot, it's corny. So this is an example of the variability in soil texture that we have on those plots. Again, plots 9 and 8 are the plots with some of the lowest yield. So those plots, plot 9 corresponds to the heavy soil texture in the field. Plot 2 This is the sample, the soil texture coming from the 15 centimeter soil depth, this point here. Let me see, this one, okay? So there is significant variability in soil type among those plots. So let's look at the differences in soil water content. I have a mistake here, is soil water content between those plots. Plot A, I will keep comparing plot 2 versus plot 8. So if we look at this graph, again, just for you, this is the soil texture from plot 9, this is the soil texture from plot 2, and this is the sample from plot 2 at 15 centimeters. So you see there were significant differences in soil water content between those locations. Throughout the growing season, this is data, I didn't include the legend here, but this is data from May 31st to July 31st. So this is 2 months, May 31st to July, and you see that there are differences in soil water content between those locations. Okay, so let's look if we saw or observe differences in canopy temperature between those locations and compared to soil water content. So we split the data into growth stages to see where were the periods when we saw differences in canopy temperature between those plots, plot 2 and plot 9. So at the beginning of the growing season, this is the graph or the period between B7 and B12, and you see that there were not really much differences in canopy temperatures between plot 8 and plot 9. And I have here the vertical graph bars represent rainfall events. So this is the period, and we were also looking at averaging this data over different time windows during the day. Okay, either averaging the data or accumulating canopy temperature data during different windows throughout the day. So this is the window from 9 a.m. I'm trying to find the point. Okay, this is the window from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So this graph is the window between 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you see that there were not really much differences, at least in canopy temperature when we look at these periods. We started seeing canopy temperature differences between plot 8 and plot 9 when we moved to grain filling period. So here we have the data from R2 to R5, and this is R4 to R6. And you see that the blue line, you can see that there was over this period, plot 2, the canopy temperature for plot 2 was much higher than plot 9. And that was the same case for the period R1 to R6. So then we were looking at, we said, okay, we observed differences in canopy temperature. Let's test the use of crop water stress index as a method for irrigation scheduling. So we were also, every week, we were calculating percent water depletion. So we wanted to correlate percent water depletion with crop water stress index. So again, this is the first year of this study. So we didn't have really, you know, 5, 6, 7 years of data that we can use to really come up with the values that are required to calculate crop water stress index. So this is the equation of canopy the crop water stress index. So what we did was we said, okay, let's look in the literature, let's attempt to calculate crop water stress index using the values that have been already published. So, but again, the literature, the equations that has been derived for canopy water stress index had been derived with data coming from Colorado, data coming from Nebraska, data coming from bushland. So those environmental conditions are very different from the Southeast. But anyway, I say, okay, let's do it. Let's see what we will get. And that's exactly what what you show here on those graphs. So we were calculating, we were looking at canopy water stress index from the period 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we look at the average of canopy water stress index and the accumulated crop water stress index over that period of time. And I plot the crop water stress index against the rainfall or the irrigation data to see if the crop water stress index was following the pattern of, let's say, irrigation events or soil moisture. And then that's when I started realizing that the crop water stress index, using this equation that was derived in Colorado, and this equation, this paper, indicates that this equation matched very well with results from Nebraska, with results from Texas. So if you look at the kind of the pattern of crop water stress index, this was a period, these were two consecutive days with almost 1 inch per day. So we have about 2.5 inches over these 2 days, and my canopy water stress index is indicating that there is no stress at all. Okay? So in that, during the July 12 and July 11, we say, okay, we are good. This is working. But then let's look at the period July 18 to July 9, July 17, July 18, July 19, okay, and July 20. So there were 3 days, 6 days without really rainfall. And then this canopy temperature index is showing low values. So like, okay, we didn't have any stress. So that's when I said there is something going on, because we know that we didn't have rainfall, we didn't have irrigation, and the canopy water stress index is indicating no stress at all. So, and I said, okay, what if we try to use the data that we have collected this year, data from Alabama, data from this study, to derive this equation, okay? And again, it's only 1 year of data. So we use our data from plot 2, data from the period 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. over the growing season, to estimate the DTLL equation, and this is our equation. So then I went and calculate crop water stress index using this equation and compared this versus the other equation. And this is what we got. Let's look again at the period July 17 through 20. And now we see that the crop water stress index calculated using the Alabama data much better the distribution of rainfall than we experienced at that particular location. So these are the differences between this is the using canopy temperature, canopy water stress index, using data from the equation from Colorado, and this is using the equation from Alabama, just calculated using this year. So there is something in there. So we haven't again figured that out, but we feel that this is an indication of, or this suggests that we cannot use equations that were derived in other regions and implement those equations in the Southeast, that we need to really generate our own data. So, and then I wanted, using our data for the calculation of crop water stress index, I wanted to see if the dynamics between these two plots with respect to crop water stress index match the dynamics that we saw in soil water content. And yes, so you can see the differences between plot 1 and plot 9. And these are the differences that we saw for the same period of time saltwater content at this just at this depth. I just plot this depth. So we correlated crop water stress index from plot 2 versus percent water depletion. And again, it's only the correlation is not very high, but we feel like, you know, there is more work that can be done, but this is promising. We also look at a time temperature threshold method, and we look at different scenarios of the time temperature threshold, accumulated values above 150 minutes, 240 minutes, 330, and 420. So we correlated this data with percent water depletion. And again, these are promising results, in my opinion, just coming from only one season, and the season was very, very wet. So then we look at the comparison between our IRT data from thermal images. And there are some challenges there. And I think that this is probably a very busy graph. But I summarized this into this table where we correlated leaf area index with IRT data from different dates throughout the growing season. We correlated leaf area index with UAV coming from the buffer areas, coming from the whole plots. We correlated also crop water stress index calculated from IRT versus UAV. Bottom line, I think we will have a challenge when it comes to using thermal images either collected from UAV or from, you know, any remote platform because of the mix in pixels. When we average these thermal values, we will be averaging pixels that corresponds to canopy and pixels that corresponds to soil. So this year, we installed not only IRT measuring data from the canopy, we installed IRT looking at soil. So we were able to calculate the differences in IRT Dynamax sensors, and we saw that throughout the growing season, independently of the growth stage, the IRT data from the Dynamax were always higher from coming from soil than coming from the canopy temperature. So then we said, let's look at the images. Let's look at the thermal images. So that's giving us an indication that the pixel values from those thermal images that exhibit or show high temperature values are pixels that correspond to soil, and pixel values that have much lower canopy, much lower values, this is what I'm talking about, corresponds to plant. When we average these values and try to calculate the crop water stress index, we will be averaging soil and we will be averaging temperature. So there is a challenge that we have there. So when I correlated leaf area index with UAV data from the buffer, the correlation is negative, meaning that low values of leaf area index are corresponding to areas with low biomass. And those are, and the correlation is negative because those are the values from the images with high temperature. So again, we have some challenges there. We didn't find a very strong correlation. In my opinion, it should be a direct correlation between UAV thermal data with respect to IRT, and we got the opposite trend. So there is something there that we haven't figured that out. And that's pretty much what I have for today. We are learning from you. We are learning from the people that have already done this and figured that out. So we are open to suggestions and advice. Why not?
I'll let you have some water first.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you a PhD student? No, I'm a faculty.
Okay.
Francieli was a PhD student. Francieli was a PhD student working with us in this
season. Yeah, a couple of things. When textile changes, we know that soil water can change. You don't have to show a graph for that. What you need to show is the available water content, okay? The plant available water content, the field capacity and relief water. That's one thing. Then take rock water of surfaces. What is behind that? How it was derived? Why is the different terms comes? The upper limit and lower limit? That's for, making the equation work for that particular environment. Even a crop water index work for one season should not be used for another reason in the same location. So for Colorado, the humidity is like 50% to 60%. I mean the whole seasonal eligibility. Here is like 60 to 100%. Another level should be used because, it's kind of waiting time.
This is the first year of the study.
So we wanted to
identify, what are the things that we need to be doing differently from other groups.
I don't discourage you, but you found out it could not be used, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So that now we know that next year.
There's a theory behind it.
Exactly.
How white accent is so and all, 1960 on they're working on it.
But the people that have done this research, the research has not been located in the Southeast.
Yeah.
So we are starting that.
I can help you in working out that problem.
Thank you.
The other thing is, what angle do you view the
45. 45.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.